Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Hey, let's see what's up this week. And by the way, I want to say nice words about Randy Quint, our lovely staff announcer who does such a marvelous job with the opening and closing to the show. What a dudification he is.
Yes, he is.
Here is what's happening Tuesday, September 3rd, 2019, Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Brady Wright. Shane Osborne is not with us tonight. He's up at the shop shooting a car. And yep. By that, I mean painting. Could have gone a lot of different ways.
They shoot cars, don't they?
They do Sharker, yeah. So he's breathing solvents tonight.
Let's hope not too much.
Well, yeah. Anyway, and of course, Steve, the producer, Johan, joining all of us and over a million listeners on this 101st episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Let's see what's happening in the automotive news in the segment we call Back to the Blacktop.
Back to the Blacktop.
Steve,
not to
Johan has used news and information as usual. What do you got?
Well, not to be confused with two-lane blacktop. Interesting movie. Interesting movie.
I haven't seen that in a long time, actually.
55 Chevy with a blown engine and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
I think James, the singer. Come on. Anyway, he made his movie debut, and I think that was about the only one he ever did anything. James Taylor. James. That's right.
Yeah.
From the world of speed comes the following report. A pre-production version of the Bugatti Chiron derivative smashed through.
Oh, now Chiron.
Chiron.
There you are. Chiron.
Yes.
Chiron. There you are.
Through the 300 mile per hour ceiling.
Saw it.
At its test track, the automaker confirmed, setting the stage for a final version to retake the world land speed record crown. Now, that's pretty cool for something you can drive on a street.
Yeah, a street legal car that goes 300 miles. Shades of, Carroll Shelby's original Cobras, which, could see 200.
Yes.
It's like, wait just a darn minute. That's a whole other 100 miles
an hour. This is drag race territory.
Well, it is. Of course it is.
I mean, there's no way to get around it.
It's not that quick, but nevertheless, that's a top end
that we
don't just see that. It's not out there.
I am very amazed. It's cool when you see this kind of thing coming around.
Sure.
And for those who have the money, hey, why not go out and get yourself one of these?
Sure, let's.
And then just when you thought it was easy to run an automotive company, comes the latest recall report from Ford Motor Company.
Oh, boy, they're getting hit.
Oh, my gosh. Just announced a series of four separate recalls that cover more than 665,000 vehicles. The recall covers a wide range of sedans, hatchbacks, SUVs, pickups sold in the United States. The largest of the recalls are related to about 550,000, which involves seat backs that might fail during a crash.
So they come flying forward, is that the deal?
Probably.
I would imagine.
Yeah, that or you hit and it goes, it goes backwards.
Interesting. Well, you don't want them to do either one.
No. And the other recall covers problems including issues with brakes as well as power steering systems that could unexpectedly fail.
All of that stuff sounds bad.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And lastly, a fourth service action, which is linked to battery problems, but that's only found in a small group of Ford products sold up in Canada. So they have their work cut out for them.
Boy, no kidding. That it's always tough.
Gosh, it is.
One or two, even a couple thousand, few thousand is not horrible. It's manageable. But when you start getting into the 500,000 cars, that's a tough.
That shades of Polaris.
That's a hit. Well, yeah.
I mean, they probably racked up nearly a million recalls over a period of about 3 years, Polaris. But I did notice in the boards that they're actually got a new distribution center down in Vegas, so down in Nevada. So Polaris is still chucking along.
Well, and they will.
I've got some stock. I got to find out what it's doing. So,
call your broker.
Yes. A great place to do product placement has been in video games. So if you're really into it, auto-related products makers are no different. The latest is the Gran Turismo game, with Michelin now becoming the official tire partner of the game. The partnership comes with some new features, namely the addition of Michelin section in the game's brand central virtual machine and, of course, Michelin logos.
I've never played this game. I know it. I mean, I know what it is.
I think my sons have an earlier version of that. But what's interesting is my sons probably have about 50 or more games on a CD, DVD, whatever you want to call them.
And
Well, as soon as they got Xbox Live, to heck with all the games. We'll just play on. I'm like, guys, you spent $500 for that stuff.
I am the world's foremost authority on not being a gamer.
Me too.
I know nothing.
I know nothing.
I mean, I know that they exist, and that's the end of my knowledge right there.
Well, yeah. An interesting tidbit I do know is that surfing through YouTube and spending time listening to old music, oftentimes the comments will actually tick off that, hey, I heard this song on Grand Theft Auto or Doom or one. So, hey, video games has done something good in the sense that it's introduced a whole new generation to great old music.
Sometimes, yeah, and I know that
and movies
it's all
do the same.
Interconnected with the other social media things. Gaming is huge. It's just not huge with me.
No,
I'm
no,
probably I'm an anomaly. Either. But you know, I learned my lesson years and years ago when my son was young and he was playing like Legend of Zelda and stuff like that, some of the older games. And he, come on, Dad, play with me. And so I would try, and I was universally lousy. I would die in the first 5 seconds. And he said, "Well, just do the thing." And I said, "I cannot do the thing. The thing and I do not get along. I will die." So he decided that I was useless and he wouldn't play with me anymore.
I hear you. Hey, strong words from the head of GM to Cadillac naysayers.
Oh, no.
There have been numerous reports over the past year or so predicting Cadillac is living on borrowed time as a means to counter such gossip. General Motor President Mark Roos recently wrote an op-ed piece for Automotive News in which he stated Cadillac is not going anywhere. Quite the opposite, it's only just begun the fight. To back up his statement, he cites they have plans to reveal a new car, crossover, or SUV nearly every 6 months through 2021, a bold product rollout strategy which will lead Cadillac dealers to have new products basically across the United States and beat out the representation of 90% of the U.S. luxury market.
So that's five new cars.
That's five new cars.
In 2 years.
That's right. That is.
And that's not upgraded models that exist. It's new models.
Yes.
What I'm hearing you say.
Yep.
Well, that's kind of interesting. You know, Cadillac is not a faint-hearted player. They've been throwing out some pretty interesting stuff. Their Super Cruise is terrific. So to come up with five completely new vehicles.
Well, they say five new car, crossover, SUV.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is I didn't know this, but Cadillac's popularity is not only great here in the U.S., but in overseas markets, since 2009, it is a global volume leader, has been growing by nearly 13% annually under
That's
the luxury car.
Respectable.
That is very respectable. So good for these guys.
Well, Cadillac's a mark. You know, they've always had the name. And they've stood for quality.
And it's run like a separate division than the Chevy side.
Yeah.
And you know what? Corvette's kind of the same thing. Corvette's got their own little... Although it's sold through Chevy dealers, Cadillac is sold through... you can get through Chevy dealers as well, right?
No, actually, Cadillac is
That's right.
It's a separate
dealership. Right.
Now, there may be dealers who sell Chevys and Cadillacs, but Cadillac is
It's like Lexus is Lexus, Toyota is Toyota.
Yeah.
You don't get the one or the other. So, good for them. And then, new Ram trucks still look better than their rivals, according to me, with less grille and more design flow. This will be enhanced with additional colors and front-end treatments coming soon. Now, the marketing arm of the company is applying similar treatments to the new Ram 1500.
Well, there you go.
In addition to a Night Edition, which slathers the grille and other stuff with inky paint, as the article said.
Oh, so they're murdering
the off-road focused Rebel gets a fresh trim as well.
Blacked out.
Yeah.
So, it's a thing. You know, people are doing that aftermarket.
There's a lot
of interesting sort of government colors. There's that putty colored and the
semi-OD
green and the gray. It looks like, you know, military trucks. And it's interesting. Although I'm glad that they are staying away from, you know, back to the 90s, those open tooth, shark tooth grills flame grills, not junk. I'm glad we're done with that. But not bad. I'm looking forward to those.
And, well, prayers for the family of TV host, motorcycle ambassador, and fastest woman on four wheels.
Oh, yeah.
Jesse Combs died in an attempt to set a new land speed record at 36.
Huge, huge thing. And she will be missed. Hey, we're glad you're with us. Coming up, we got a one-on-one with Kenny Earls from KHRA. That and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow. Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been.
Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View, and this week we're talking with Kenny Earls in Kansas about Keeping Hot Rods Alive program. So, Kenny, it's great to have you on the show tonight with us.
Yeah, it's great to be on here with you guys.
Yeah, we haven't talked with you for a while, and I think the last time we talked with you, we were talking about the Time Travelers Car Club, but also about your program, the KHRA. And I love, by the way, what great letters, KHRA. Your logo looks a lot like the NHRA, which is just super. But Keeping Hot Rods Alive was a program. You're going to correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a program you kind of started with your own dime to help kids learn the auto business, and now it's become its own 501c3, has it not?
Yes, we're 501c3. We started it a little over 2.5 years ago myself. I started this up, a free program, and just to keep our young ones, bring them up into our hot rod scene.
Yeah.
Keep our dream alive, but also give them a trade.
Yeah, and what a great thing to do. Now, and when last we spoke to you, and it was a while ago, I seem to remember that you had a few kids there who were doing some things, and you were getting ready to send one of them to a scholarship program. Is that not right?
Well, one of them is getting credit. She had got school credit, Kata, one of the girls in our program, and so she was being graded and everything, and then moving on there, we've got another boy that we're working on. He's wanting to be a welder when he graduates from school, so we're
super
working on some stuff there and doing what we can for him to help Ryan out.
That is excellent. And now we mentioned Kansas. Where in Kansas are you guys?
Oh, no, we're in Arizona.
Why did I say Kansas?
Because we will be by Kansas end of October for the International Radical Rod Build-Off.
That's
drive
what
off-road
it was.
To SEMA.
That's what it was. I knew you guys, and that's kind of my way to walk into SEMA. So people who listen to the show, I mean, they're familiar with the idea about SEMA, but you guys are actually putting together a car to take to the SEMA show. Is that not correct?
Yes, it is. Yes, we are. The 57 British Ford Anglia with American 57 Ford body panels grafted onto it here and there.
Yeah.
So people don't know what the car is, but yes, putting that together, we'll go to Lincoln, Nebraska, right there by Kansas.
Yeah.
Where all teams meet. We drive back this way to Las Vegas, Nevada. We're about an hour and a half from Las Vegas, but
yeah,
here we got to drive across the country to turn around and come back.
Well, it's, you know, sometimes you gotta go past it to get there, you know?
So where are you actually located? Because I thought it was Kansas too.
Yeah, I'm actually in Golden Valley, Arizona. I am 10 minutes from Kingman, Arizona.
There you go.
10 minutes from the Route 66, the old famous Route 66.
That's right. That's right. Well, so...
Well, nice thing about being down there, it could be hot weather. So in the summer, if you got a pole barn type shop, you're going to have fans going. And in the winter, it's plenty warm. You don't even have to worry maybe a few days of having a heat. But other than that, am I correct on that down there?
Yes. Wintertime is actually really good. You know, we get a few cold days here and there. We did have a crazy wind. Oh, boy. We got a fire truck.
I hear the fire truck. That's great.
That.
No, it's good. This is live PD here.
Yeah, we, February, we had a really crazy snow here.
Oh, that's unusual.
Yeah, our winters aren't bad. We hit, we will get some cooler weather where you put on a jacket for maybe a couple days. Wore a t-shirt in the middle of the day, take off the flannel, and just have a t-shirt on in the wintertime. So summertime, today, we're triple digit. So
oh, I'm
I think
sure.
We're somewhere just over 100 degrees,
Man.
And I'm ready for it to cool down.
I'll bet you are. I'll bet you are. Well, now, I know you guys have a Facebook page, of course. The KHRA program is on Facebook, and the Time Travelers are on Facebook as well. But for those who are, you know, wondering a little bit about background about this whole thing, Kenny sent me a whole bunch of great pictures and a couple of videos ahead of the show tonight. We're going to put those up on our Facebook page, and of course, you can always go to theirs and see the progress of the build and learn more about the build off and everything else. Give us a little bit more detail on the build itself and what's going on with that.
Yeah, the Facebook page is Keeping Hot Rodding Alive.
Right,
is what people can look at. Anyways, we are pushing on this build. It's a dual control. People say this is a pretty cool rat rod. Well, you know what? I don't know. I don't think it's really a rat rod. It's not a hot rod. It's not a street rod. I would have to say it's probably more in the order of a space rod. something that's coming from – they're building what's coming from outer space down to a car show. It's what the kids come up with, this design.
I love it.
I said it's a dual control. I just finished on one of the videos, finished up the braking system with the pedals. We got dual pedals working on the brakes.
I saw that.
We're working on the throttle pedals right now, and we'll wrap that up. And then right now our right side steering, which is our primary side, is functional, working. So after the throttle control, we are linking our left side steering column in. That was sponsored to us by I Did It. And then Contour out of Oregon sponsored our steering wheels. And we've got a lot of awesome sponsors.
That's
and
very cool.
Still reaching out, trying to work on getting sponsors for money because now we got our thing on our trip to do Lincoln, Nebraska and back. But this car, our exhaust system and some of the pictures you see there, you will see the exhaust, if you look on the interior of the car,
right.
It comes up, and it comes out through the 57 American Ford tail fins with a 63 Ford Thunderbird taillight bezel around it. The exhaust comes right out through the center of that.
Sure. Yeah, it's cool looking.
It's to give you a rocket thruster look.
I like it.
We will be putting a bright LED light on the inside there that will shine through those the fins of the 63 T-Bird bezels there. So at night, it'll look like, you know, a jet engine in there. And then we'll have 59 Cadillac taillights underneath the bottom of the car.
See, I was kind of hoping you'd go with, you know, some of the flamers. But you don't need it if you're going to do the lights.
I don't think we'll have it ready for SEMA, but we are going to be putting flamethrowers in there.
Sure. Now, let me back up for it. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
We do want to run it down the road one evening. And light those things up.
Oh, absolutely.
And get some video of it.
Absolutely.
Going down the road.
Well, now, what I was going to ask you was, what made you think about dual controls? Because that's kind of unusual.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of a weird thing. When we were building this car, when we started it, when we were accepted in, we were invited, actually, not accepted. We didn't ask to be in the build-off. We were called because I hosted last year's last leg of the tour to SEMA,
right,
for the International Radical Rod Build-Off. So,
right.
Anyways, we got a phone call about 2 weeks after we hosted the event here, and I asked the kids, hey, we got an invitation to be in the build-off for 2019. You guys want to go for it? So, yeah, we're going to go for it. They picked the worst car to build because I told them there's hope for all cars. I donated the car.
Sure.
And so they picked this car, and they asked, you know, well, I go, what do you guys want to do with it? And they want to go space-age themed. I'm not into space-age stuff at all. Never was. Never was into Star Trek.
Yep. Yeah.
None of that. I am having fun with this project. But anyways, the way the right hand or the way the dual control setup happened, it's a British Ford. They go, let's do it right-hand drive because that's what the Brits drove.
Sure.
And I'm going, no. We're going to stay left-hand drive. Well, we had Donnie Sanders donated the suspension, ordered it all and everything, and the complete front suspension.
Nice.
And rear suspension stuff. And he asked what the car is and what do we want. I go, well, we want a 32 Model A front suspension, disc brake front end.
Sure.
And, you know, so now he talks to the place up there, and I'm now out of the picture. He talks to the place we got the suspension from.
Hey, Kenny,
and they ask what the car is.
I need a break in here. We are just right at the point of our break
coming
up.
Hold this thought. We want to hear more about the suspension system.
So this is what you call a hook or a...
it's a tease.
It's a cliffhanger. So yeah. Stick with us to the other side.
Yeah. We'll take a break here and
we'll
come back.
Be right back. We got more with Kenny Earls, another story from the old Carnut book, and a lot more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
And we're back with the second half of the Windshield View. Before the break, we were talking with Kenny Earls about the Keeping Hot Rodding Alive program and the Time Travelers Car Club. But mostly, we were talking about the dual control system in the the British Ford space rod that they're building for SEMA. And we were coming up with how you ended up with dual controls. So let's continue with that one because the story fascinates me.
Okay. So I'm out of the window of this discussion between Donnie Sanders and the place he ordered the suspension from. So he tells them we want a 32 Model A front suspension.
Right.
And the car is a 57 British Ford Anglia panel, Thames panel.
Yeah.
So now we get everything in. my kids are wanting to go right-hand drive. I said, no, we're going left-hand. That's what they're going to send us. The stuff comes in. We start unboxing, taking pictures, sharing what we got, and I look, and my mouth just dropped. I go, oh, I cannot believe this. They go, what? I go, this stupid steering box is right-hand drive. It's not what we wanted.
No.
They spoke up, yes, it is. That's what we want.
Yes, yes.
So I go, well, you know, it's, you know, you guys may not like to drive from the right side. I wanted to go left. So I go, you know what we're going to do? You guys wanted right. I wanted left. We're going to make it dual control. And they go, can you do that?
Well, sure.
I go, anything is possible.
Of course.
With wrenches, welder, torch.
Yeah.
Hey,
this is the this is the coolest driver training car on the planet.
Yes.
That's it.
That's great
stuff.
I've
only seen dual control on driver's training cars and trash trucks. And, well, it's not really a driver's training, and it's not a trash truck, but it's an interesting space rod.
That's very cool.
These kids are designing.
I love it. So give us more. What else you got going with this car? I mean, aside from the dual controls, by the way, if you want to see how this thing actually looks and actually works, go to the video. We're going to put it up on our Facebook page. It's on Kenny's Facebook page as well, the Keeping Hot Rodding Alive program. And you can see the way they wired, not wired, but welded this thing up. It's pretty cool. It's actually pretty cool. And fortunately, you can see most of it because the way the car is built. So that's excellent.
Now, is this... how many people can actually, you're saying you're running the exhaust through the car. Does that mean inside the...
yeah, it's under the seats.
Oh, so how does that work?
Inside the cabin.
is that not...
It has, if you look at the side of the body,
yeah,
and you'll see a lower wing section. There are many wings. They're supposed to represent wings. The custom-made headers that we did come out, and they go underneath through the firewall and down under the wing. We've got our glass packs. We're running the old glass packs underneath the wings.
Of course.
Then they cut up just behind the doors of the car, on the back side of the front, you know, the front doors there, the only doors.
Yeah.
And they go up into the body, into the quarter panel, above the tire.
Got it.
And then we've got the old megaphone-style hot rod cone-shaped exhaust that goes through there.
Sure.
We will be header wrapping them, but we're boxing in the inside back there.
Right.
Closing that in, insulating it. We've got thermal wrap that we're going to wrap the exhaust to keep the temps down.
Good.
And then if you look just behind the door, below the panel, the area we're going to panel in, we're still got to panel all that in. You'll see some slots there that's kind of opened up. It's something we didn't think at the very beginning, but if you think about it, on a jet, the jet engine, they've got an air intake.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Wait, we're missing something here. Well, that's why we're slitting right there. Now, that's going to serve as two purposes. One is for the look as an air intake for the jet engines,
sure.
The makeshift jet engines. But it's also going to be help cooling for that exhaust system as you're going down the road.
Absolutely.
It will push air through there.
It's sort of shark
and,
gills.
I was just thinking of shark gills.
Through those 63 T-Bird vessels. And then we're going to run the really bright set of LED taillights in there just to makeshift to look like a jet engine as you're behind it at night. You'll see a red glow in there.
So now how many people will be able to actually sit in this vehicle when it's all complete and go down the road with it?
Knowing these kids are all going to want to climb in it, but but technically it's only a three-seater. You've got the two front seats, and then you've got a middle back seat.
Okay.
That is going into it. Because of the room-wise and what we're doing, really there's no room for a third person back there. But we are going to put a little jump seat on this trip. I've got some word for some media groups, social media groups that has talked about riding along and want to come back and get some pictures of your pilot and co-pilot.
Sure. We could always mount a camera back there, too, I suppose.
Co-driver.
Didn't have a big guy in the back. Those Thames trucks, they were not huge. And the back seat was sort of a lick and a promise, really, when it get right down to it. So I'm sure it's not huge back there.
Well,
the
mini trucks.
And I'm 5'8", and I'm tight.
Yeah.
When we sit the seat in there, it's tight for me.
I'll bet.
And I've got a couple of my students that are taller than me. I'm 5'8", and I've got some that are taller than me, and it's like, we're going to have fun fitting this thing. The top is chopped. Ryan, he's in 11th grade now. He was 10th grade when he started chopping the top. His first top, he's chopped. And what's really something is I pulled him aside one day and told him, so, you know, Ryan, you're ahead of me in this building. And he's going, what are you talking about? I'm learning from you. I don't know nothing about this stuff. I go, Ryan, when I was in 10th grade, I did motor swaps from a four-cylinder, six-cylinder up to a V8, changed the rear ends, pulled the bench seat out through them as far as I could and put bucket seats and a shifter and just, you know, beefed up the motor some. That's it. He's chopped his first top at 10th grade.
That's wow. pretty cool. How much of a chop did he do,
he
by
stays
the way?
With this. Oh. He stays with this. What's he going to be? I told him, you stay with this. What are you going to be when you're 57?
Oh, yeah, like of course.
He'll be another Gene Winfield, George Barris. And Gene Winfield, we're going to be seeing Gene Winfield in this month. Gene's going to help the kids on the nose of the car. We're taking the car to his place in California.
That is awesome.
And he's gonna donate time. We're going to leave on a Friday and come back that Sunday night, and we're going to spend some time building the whole nose for that. And they'll have more hands-on training through Gene Winfield.
That is so cool. Now, you know, this thing has become a huge, you know, gathering of the minds here. You know, it started out pretty modest, and it's come a long way. Kudos to you for making it happen.
Yeah, it's great. I love doing this, and I think I shared with you before. Statistics shows one out of one's going to die. So guess what? We're all going to go. And what's in the library on top of my shoulders isn't a lot, but what's there? One day is going to be history, and you can't get nothing out of it.
That's right.
So I want to give it to the kids, our generation, bring them up, and give them something, and trying to keep our hot rodding dream alive there.
Yeah.
So and really get them into this rumble. These kids are really excited. They're more as they're into the hot rod thing, and we have locals that will bring their cars in, take them for a ride. Well, now the little four cylinder. You know, Toyotas and stuff that they're putting, you know, those coffee can exhaust on them. They're telling their friends, hey, you know what? That's junk, man. Get a real car.
Sure.
So I love seeing that. We're keeping our hot rods going. And my students have got, you know, a few of my students have got old classics now.
That's excellent.
You know, we're putting together. So.
Now, I got a question, Kenny. Will you be doing a final quality paint job on this, or is this set up just to kind of see the work versus the paint? How's that going to work?
It is going to be painted.
Very good.
Plan is to go to the silver and black. Whether we can have it ready for paint for SEMA, I don't know about that. I'm kind of down there because we got a lot to do still. Yeah. But get it running and going. We're good there, and it will be a silver and a black. It will be on the panel area will be airbrushed. We got a guy that come out from Phoenix and do the airbrush there.
Super.
Of our solar system.
Oh, good.
Planets.
Great.
And everything. And then there will be a picture of the car airbrushed like it's flying in down to Earth. There'll be two little porthole windows behind those front doors.
So the shades of the 70s van here.
That's
and
nice.
It'll be tinted like the Earth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That window. Super. And it'll sort of look like the car coming down to Earth for a car show. And our goal is to have everything done and ready for the raffle the end of April, 1st of May, right in that area. We're
okay.
going to raffle it off.
Yeah.
Half the money. We're going to the teen need programs out there, if it's a homeless teen shelter, drug alcohol rehab for teens, abused teens, whatever. The other half will go into the program to build another car. We've had two cars donated already.
Oh, excellent.
65 Plymouth Barracuda out of Florida that he's going to bring up.
That was a great year for those.
Yeah, and then a 68 Ford truck with a fuel-injected 460 and a tilt front end.
Super,
and
yeah,
we'll
that's
do
good.
The same thing. Goal is to build a car a year and raffle off. And as these kids move on, others will come in. I do have two of my students. I'd love to keep all my students with me, but a couple of them that have been with me from day one, I would like to keep them with me.
Sure.
And eventually pass the wand on to them.
Well, they'll become instructors,
so
you bet.
They can teach.
Yeah. Well, that's the goal, isn't it? I mean, you know, you gotta prepare another generation to do this. It's so amazing to see. I mean, your program and your dedication to it deserves all the, you know, the kudos in the world. But, you know, it's amazing to see that across the country there are other people doing this kind of thing.
Yeah,
you know, the kids with the tuner cars and stuff like that, that's one thing. But there's actually a fairly interesting sort of undercurrent of people, who are, you know, 20 to 30, who are just coming into this and realizing, you know, the newer cars, they're harder to mess with because they're all, you know, chip-driven and stuff like that. But the older ones, you can actually play with a lot more, and they're having some fun with that. I think that's great.
Well, and I know that on the motorcycle side of things, there is a guy, and his name is escaping me right now, but he put together exactly what you're doing, but for motorcycles, and they build a custom motorcycle, mm-hmm. and it's all within a high school shop class, so the kids get to learn fabrication, engine work, the whole bit, and they come out and then they showcase their work at the different shows and stuff, and they get sponsorship. And these kids walk away with a young adults walk away with a talent that most people will never have a chance to learn. And so you're doing the same thing for the automotive side. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, it is great. Like I said, but Ryan, this is his first top. He's chopped. I had a couple of the other students that got involved with the top too, but Ryan's our main one there on the top chop and welding. And he is just doing awesome with his welding.
That's excellent.
And
how much of a chop did he put on it?
There's another place out in Colorado that the guy is working with the kids, and now he's got a hold of me, and I shared with him some tips here and there. And so he's working with some kids out there starting up the program out there. And it's great. This is what I challenge is people to step out, and not just so much automotive, any trade that they're into.
You bet.
Reach out to these kids and give them something because they're the future.
Well, you know, Chip Foose also says that, you know, the thing that's missing in the educational system these days is bringing back shop classes. Your kids don't know how to do anything. And if you brought them back, you'd end up with people who had a trade coming out. But you'd also kind of re-energize the idea of working with your hands, which is, you know, that's where creation happens. It's pretty exciting. So you're right up there with them doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's great. It's exciting to watch them really get into it, learning and getting into it, and feel really good to see this happening. And you know, like I said, I do this for free. I don't charge. I will not take a penny for it.
Yep.
I'm getting by, and that's all I want to do is eat, and I want to see our kids move into, you know, adulthood with something behind them. I teach them to learn every trade you could possibly learn.
Sure.
So you've got something to fall back on if the bottom falls out. And
yeah,
a lot of your jobs will hand in hand relate to each other.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it's a skill that will never go away. Somebody's always going to need someone who understands mechanical things, who understands welding, who understands fabricating. All those skills will never be out of necessity. You know, people, you're always going to need somebody who knows how to do that stuff, no matter what kind of cars we have.
Well, and the fancier you are and the more work you can do, you can actually command a good price for your labor.
Of course.
And,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my son's involved with he just starts tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday, the first day of school for the guys up here and gals here in the Seattle region. And he's starting it's a two-period class, and he will learn how to, in 2 years, he and a whole crew of kids with some instructors will actually be building a house.
Oh, very good.
And so they're going to learn all the trades of building a house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I'm very amazed. And interestingly enough, I just discovered that my middle son, who is now in college, he's in a mechanical engineering program. He started just a couple weeks ago. Their college is putting together a Baja competition off-wheel road rig, and they have
super.
To create everything pretty much on their own. So I am thinking these things are so cool. I just love it. They're finally doing, you know, what dad does, build things and work on cars. So.
Well, I don't want to miss the chance to plug again.
Please.
Where all of this information can be found, because I know that the Keep Hot Rodding Alive Facebook page is something everybody can find. Just do that search and you'll go there. Also, now and I know that the SEMA, of course, are you guys listed anywhere on the SEMA site, or is it just a matter of you're going to go there and when the show is sort of publicized, we'll all see you guys there?
We're set up there. We're registered in there with, I guess we're registering with Battle of Builders too. We had to get a SEMA feature vehicle sponsor spot.
Ah, got it.
Son
okay.
of a Fink Customs out of Kansas. So it was funny. You mentioned Kansas. So anyway, Son of a Fink Customs is setting up a booth inside, and he sponsored us. BJ Barger sponsored us a spot out there. And
nice.
You can just roll in and bring a car in and say, I want to put it here, because it's not a car show.
Absolutely super.
It's a trade event.
Well, listen, Kenny, it's been swell. I wish we had more time. I would love to just continue this, but I will say that if people go to your Facebook page, they can follow the build, they can follow the adventures of the kids in the program, and follow the program itself. It is Keep Hot Rodding Alive, and again, it's on Facebook. Kenny Earls has been with us tonight.
Keeping Hot Rodding Alive.
Keeping Hot Rodding Alive, thank you. Don't let me miss that.
Yep.
Kenny, thank you for talking with us tonight. And we are, we're just like right out of time, but I'm glad you came back with us, and we'll follow you as you get towards SEMA, all right?
Yeah, feel free to call anytime and give you updates.
Will do. Thanks, Kenny. Hey, you're listening to the greatest automotive info show in the known world, and a cool hot rod story you can tell your friends is up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air-Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org.
Well, boys and girls, it's time for Cars Confidential.
Ooh, yay.
And another hot rod story from the old car nut book. So, Brady, what's up this week?
Well, Steve.
You like my barfy voice
that was,
there?
That was perfect. Yeah, you were.
My announcer
you
voice?
You were all but there. So this one is called The Buggy, and it's by Roger Patton, and it is from book one. It is book one, by golly.
Cool. I saw a dune buggy on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure this is a dune buggy, but let's find out. Roger says, I met Roger Hackworth the day before I turned 13 in Stockbridge, Michigan. The year was 1969. We became good friends and still stay in contact with one another to this day. Together, we shared many adventures and still talk about them between us and share them with close friends. When I was about 15, we had moved to a town in the western part of Michigan called Burr Oak. You know, Roger's much older brother, Joe, lived there, and he began dating my mother, so we were all just that much closer. It's an interesting relationship. Therefore, yes. Roger and I were always doing one thing or another together, and there was always an adventure waiting. Joe worked for a man named Dickie who had an auto body and paint business, and Roger would occasionally go over and help Joe get the cars ready for paint. Are you listening, Shane? That's what Shane's doing tonight. One day, Roger came to me and said Dickie had a friend named Larry, a 30-some-year-old hippie with more creative bent than tools or skill, and he had taken in a 56 Chevy pickup truck, chopped the body off of it. In fact, he'd actually cut up the frame and shortened it. And because he didn't have a welder or much else in the way of tools, he drilled holes in the frame and bolted it back together. It had a seat bolted to the frame, and the cowl, dash, and steering wheel remained intact.
Kind of like a front end of a Chevy bolted to the frame. Yeah.
Anyway, it had no windshield. It was kind of an odd-looking vehicle, and he called it the buggy. Now, it had a 6-cylinder engine with a 3-speed transmission, and when the front end was torn off the truck, the rusted-out radiator wasn't replaced, so there was no radiator. Larry just poured water in the radiator hoses and then attached them back together using a pipe and clamps. It actually worked okay. It would travel 5 or 6 miles before it needed more water.
Jeez.
The wind across the open engine kept it semi-cool, sort of. Because the frame, this is getting weirder, because the frame was not welded solid, the buggy would sort of bend in the center where it was bolted together. There was about 3 or 4 inches of
shades
travel
of cartoons
up and down, and when it took off from the stop, the seat and its occupants would be looking at the sky until the buggy came back down. This I got a feeling OSHA would never have signed off on this car. Roger went on to mention that the guy wanted to sell it for $15. So I thought I could get it for less. Oh, yeah. And talked me into buy it. So the plan was to go to Larry's house to look it over and buy it. I actually bought it for $10. I think he got taken. When the issue was how to get it to my house, obviously, if the cops saw this, we were going to be in a big trouble. They would be wondering who the fool was driving that thing down public roads. The plan was to wait until about 2 or 3 in the morning. Good plan. Well, about 11 p.m., we'd had enough of boredom of waiting, so with Larry driving and Roger and I as passengers, we set out to get the thing home in a stealthy manner. We would take the first gravel road and slyly work our way to where I lived, which was about 15 miles away. We'd stop and give the engine a drink every so often to keep it cool. Larry always had jugs of water with the buggy, so we got almost onto the first gravel road when we saw a police car.
Oh, geez.
Roger said, well, maybe they didn't see us. Larry wasn't buying this course, and told us about a field up ahead to pull into, so he thought if we could make it to the field, park the buggy, and, you know, in the drive-on private land, that maybe the cops wouldn't impound it. Roger looked back and said, yeah, they saw us. Larry stopped the buggy in the driveway. We jumped out and ran into the field and lay down in the grass. Good plan. Well, the police came and the lights on, and although he looked around for us, we had, in fact, evaded capture. They never got out of the car. They just kind of looked the buggy over in their spotlight. The cops left, and we decided to wait for a while before continuing our journey to get the buggy back to my house. That wait only lasted a few minutes. After they left, we figured, well, they're gone for good, or they're lying in wait. We decided that the worst they could do would be to take the buggy and send us walking. Obviously, they weren't going to drive it, so that would leave them just telling us to get that thing off the road before we take it to jail. So without any further speculation, we took off and eventually made it to my home without further incident. At the time, we thought we had pulled off a major coup. Roger and I broke the shift linkage one day, and the only person we knew who could weld it lived in town, so we drove the buggy into town, got the linkage welded, and drove away like outlaws in a cloud of dust. I told Roger that the people on the streets probably had a fun saying, like, I saw the Beverly Hillbillies in town today. We drove that thing for what seemed like forever. We never put in a radiator. We just stopped and gave it a drink once in a while. It was delivered to the scrapyard once it finally died. Now, not long after the buggy died, Roger approached me again with another plan. This time, Dickie told Roger he would give him his 49 Dodge pickup truck if he would throw the boulders out of the bottom of his barn. So Roger got me involved, and we started throwing out the rocks. About the time we got to the biggest rocks, which were in the farthest part of the barn, of course, Roger came up with the idea of going and getting the truck, and I could finish getting the rocks out of the barn. Reluctantly, I told Roger to go ahead and get the truck. The agreement was that Dickie wasn't going to give Roger the truck until the last rock was out of the barn, so I had to have the rocks out before Roger came back with the truck in case Dickie followed him back to the house. He made it clear that if he found out we lied, he wouldn't go through with the deal. So I got the rocks out of the barn. Roger drove the truck in. It had a new paint job, new tires, chrome wheels, clean from front to back and top to bottom. Even the floor mat was brand new. It ran and drove perfect. Roger wanted to go on a date with Karen, and he wanted me to go with her sister. I wanted nothing to do with the sister, but Karen wouldn't go out with Roger unless I went and took her sister along. Blackmail. So what could I do? I agreed to go. Roger got the idea of driving the truck and parking it in the outskirts of town. It wasn't licensed. It had no insurance, so we had no business driving it. I told Roger, as soon as we got into the truck to leave, the police would catch us and impound it. He said, nah, they won't. We'll stay out late and get in the truck after the whole town has settled in and the cops are eating donuts. Right.
I see a trend here.
Uh-huh. At about 3 in the morning, the girls dropped us off, and we snuck onto the truck and fired it up. I told Roger to be careful because the police were probably behind a building waiting for us to pull out, and I was right. As soon as we pulled out and got on the road, here came the cops with flashing lights and screaming sirens. I hated to be right that night. They impounded the truck, and we walked home. The next day, Roger and I went up to the garage uptown, and there sat the truck. According to the tow driver and the impound lot manager, the cops had told them that the truck could not leave unless it had plates and insurance on it. Roger was 16. I was 15. Neither one of us had a driver's license.
Oh, gosh.
We certainly didn't have insurance and registration, so we couldn't get the truck, and no one was going to help us. As we were walking away, I told Roger to go trade the pickup for the 64 Chevy Malibu SS that was sitting on the lot with a for sale sign on it. He had the title for the Dodge truck that Dickie had signed off on, so he went back to the guy and made a straight across deal. The Malibu had shiny red paint, a white convertible top, stock SS hubcaps, white bucket seats, and an automatic shifter in the center console. It was beautiful, and the 283 cubic inch V8 purred like a kitten. We couldn't drive the truck out, but no one said we couldn't drive away with the Malibu, so we did.
Wow, what a story. What a story.
Horse trading 101.
Yes.
Jeez.
What a great...
You know, back in the day, you did that. 69, okay? 69. Yeah. That's just crazy stuff. You know, I bought one of my first cars right around in there for $250. And the $10 and $15 cars were a lot fewer and far between, but they were out there.
Right.
I had a friend that lived on Bainbridge Island, which is an island in the Puget Sound area in western Washington. And he had a car that he couldn't take off the island because it was not legal anywhere else. The cops on the island didn't care. And it was an old Plymouth sedan, probably a 36, 37, 38, somewhere like that. And he called it Old Gray because it was basically gray primer. And it wouldn't go any faster than about 35 miles an hour. That was it.
You know, we think, okay, so cars were a lot cheaper in the day, but reality is money was worth a lot more in those days.
It's true. And, in today's dollars, I think that it was a $30, $35 car.
Right.
And I think that money would have probably been, $1,500 today probably.
Of course, because people forget that in the 70s, everything just started going downhill for value of money.
That's true. So one more time, this is, as I say, from the Old Car Nut book, Book 1. David Dickinson compiles them, of course. And as we always say, you can get them on Amazon. You can get them through theoldcarnutbook.com. There's 3 books in the series. I'm beating on him to try to get the 4th one published.
We'll keep beating on him.
They will make a great gift. We're hoping that he's going to come to the show this weekend, but I'm not positive. We'll find out.
Yeah, well, and it's really, Dave's a great guy. He's got lots of stories.
Swell guy.
It's interesting because he's good friends with Lance, and he's another storyteller. So yeah,
I'm going to start bringing some of Lance's books in too. I got to call him and make sure that it's cool. I'm sure he won't mind, but I'm going to ask him anyway. Because he's got some great stories in Grins, Gears, and Gasoline.
He does. Well, yeah. Stick with it. Put it in park. This week's trivia question is up next, and a peek at next week's show as well.
You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old-school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Hang on till right after these messages.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
This is Donnie Smith. You've been listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. Enjoy yourself.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Help us if you can, you're an El Camino, El Camino man.
Hey, welcome back to Around the Wheel. This is where we usually talk about upcoming events, the weekly trivia question, all that kind of cool stuff. And I can tell you now that one of the events upcoming is this very weekend, the weekend of September 8th. It is Sunday. It is the Edmunds Classic Car and Motorcycle Show in Edmunds, Washington, and it is going to be one of the big end-of-summer shows all through the streets of downtown Edmunds, probably 300, maybe 400 cars, a ton of them, all 30 years old or older. And it's a big one out here in the Pacific Northwest. If you are not here, please come because we'd love to have.
We'll have our booth there. So
that's right. Yeah.
And our special trivia question will be going there. So if
come
by,
we will have trivia questions.
Yes,
at
we
the
will.
Booth. And if you answer one, you too can get your picture taken with the official Horsepower Chrome and Rust bucket of barn find
and
dust.
And we've got some.
We have mini buckets.
Mini bucket souvenirs that you will get to take home.
Yes, if you answer the question right.
That's right.
Yeah, it'll be cool. Anyway, so speaking of the trivia question, last week's trivia question was a real tough one. Where and when was the first drive-in theater built? And, you know, where and when being the key part of this.
Right.
And none other, ladies and gentlemen, none other than Nathan Lipinski sent me a messenger thing through Facebook and said, ha! I know the answer. I know the answer. He said the trivia answer is 1933, the first ever drive-in movie theater located in Crescent Boulevard in Camden, New Jersey. And extra points for Nathan because he knew the street.
Did he live out there?
I don't know. I didn't ask him, but he knew the answer, and I said, fine, you got it. So Nathan, not only this, we're doing something special for Nathan because he answered so correctly and with more than the usual information.
Right.
Nathan will be the recipient of the very first congratulations certificate to Nathan Lipinski. He will be posted on our website, on the Facebook
That's
page,
right.
separate from everything else, and we'll be putting that one up. So, yeah, Nathan, nice job. Well done. Thanks for listening, and we'll have the the bucket of barn find dust dedicated to you on the webpage, and that means that since Nathan has correctly answered the trivia question for last week, we need a new one for this coming week.
Yes, we do.
And it just so happens I have one. Ha! Speaking of, just recently we were talking with Kenny Earls about Haggerty Insurance co-sponsoring the Space Rod. The question for next week is, what year was the very first auto insurance policy offered?
Oh, wow.
What year was
wow.
the first? So you might know that. And if you do, you should get with us on Facebook. You can do a Facebook Messenger. You can send us an email at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. You too could win the coveted bucket of genuine Horsepower Chrome and Rust barn find dust as modeled by our lovely and talented co-host Shane Osborne.
That's right.
On the Facebook page someplace near you and me.
I have a question. I'm wondering if they ever did any kind of insurance policy on horses and buckboards previous to cars.
I don't know, but I did see a video on Facebook of a horse and buckboard doing what they titled an Amish burnout.
Oh, wow.
It's actually pretty funny.
That is funny.
I'll see if I can find it and put it on.
You know, because insurance actually has been around for centuries because if you had cargo going from one point to another, you'd want to insure it.
There was a liability sort of thing.
There you could get that insured. And it even goes back to surety, which goes to gold in your bank, and then you get that little note and you take it somewhere else. But anyways, I'm thinking cars maybe because there's a value to that car.
Well, also, it would have been a little bit different because, of course, cars didn't come around until the late 1800s.
And did anybody really have that many accidents of horses crashing into each other and buckboards as in cars with no stop signs?
Well, on the other hand, the horse and buggy accidents usually were solved by shooting the other guy. You didn't, you know. You
it
hit
wasn't
me.
That I'm, bad, Brady. Jeez,
of course it
many
was.
Westerns.
Every day, I've all, it's all.
Too many Blazing Saddles movies.
That's true. Hey, we're just about out. Say hey, thanks to Kenny Earls for giving us the update on the Keeping Hot Rodding Alive program and their SEMA build. Thanks for being a part of over a million listeners this week. And thanks for the great stories because we love them. HorsepowerChromeandRust.podomatic.com is where you can find our archives. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johan, I'm Brady Wright saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, your foot to the floor. Next week, we will do this again. Yet another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.